Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Chuck Bonnerill, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show. True, straight up.
And I just want to say, welcome, comrades, to the great socialist state of Colorado.
Yo!
It was a bad night for the establishment on both sides, but we are sending tons of like literal socialists, Democrat socialists of America, to various state offices. Going to have a huge impact at the state legislature. I don't know how, you know, Congress. I think it's just kind of piling up, right? It's like, you know, Hakeem Jeffries is on his way out. What's her name? Malat Kiros, who beat Diana DeGette, said, I could never support him. But let's talk about the Republican race, which is really interesting. We said on Monday, at least I said, I wasn't sure it was going to happen. I didn't know if Victor Marx's support was, you know, sock puppets or was it real? Well, it turns out it was pretty real. As it stands right now, Barb Kirkmeyer, last night, she was leading by about 8,000 votes, right? As of right now, Barb Kirkmeyer is beating Victor Marx by only 1,310 votes. I mean, that's like, and when you look at Scott Bottoms, by the way, came in at 20%. And we'll talk about that in a second. But what I think is interesting is when you look at, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, either way, I think it's going to be close enough. It's going to have to go for a recount.
Counts are certainly changed that kind of, can change that kind of level of voting and so forth. But first, you have the cure period, and that's right. All a matter of organization, getting people out, getting people motivated to go ahead and correct their ballots. And you need professionals, or at least trained people, to go out and try to hunt those ballots down. It's not an easy process. And Victor Marx, I think, probably has people.
I think I would agree with you there, too. I think Victor Marx probably has an advantage on that front. And number one, even though it was, you know, kind of clear that some of his finance was smurfed, in other words, it had all different addresses, the money was real. The money was there. So Victor Marx, I think, has money and has access to money. I think Barb Kirkmeyer, I don't think any of the establishment donors are going to try to bail her out because she can't win anyway. Right. And the other thing is when you look at it, it's called decisiondeskhq.com. If you want to go there, you could pull up the races. And what's interesting,
that's really interesting. They'll give you a county by county breakdown,
right,
which is very interesting in the Kirkmeyer versus Marx
right
race.
And when you look at it, Victor Marx clearly has support all around the state, right? Barb Kirkmeyer, she's like red, right? Victor Marx is yellow, Scott Bottoms is purple. She has support pretty much only in northeast Colorado. Larimer,
Denver. She gets Arapahoe County, she has Jefferson County, she has Denver County, and Arapahoe County. She also has Boulder and a few others. Douglas, which is bad news, that the majority of Douglas County would want a bigger rhino with Barb Kirkmeyer. Most of the other states, there are a few exceptions to that. The much more smaller ones, they're all for Marx.
For Victor Marx. But, and one of the things I think that's interesting is it's not entirely clear which counties still have ballots to be reported. But I mean,
they tell you that they have another
map.
Okay. Yeah, Denver still has a lot.
Okay.
So does Weld and so does.
But it doesn't appear. Well, I think right now it's too close to call, right? I mean,
it's not
the way I understand it. Again, given the fact that Victor Marx does have support kind of statewide, I think more so than Barb Kirkmeyer does, there might be ballots coming in. So, I mean, you know, last night when everybody went to bed last night, she was ahead by like 8,000 votes.
Right.
Now, I mean, she's lost 7,000. So I just think that's really interesting. And, you know, like I said, clearly Victor Marx does have sort of widespread support among Republicans. So I don't know. That's a toss-up, I think. And I don't think we're going to know how long do they have to cure it? So they have several days
Maybe
to cure.
It's Friday. It's either Friday or Monday.
Okay, they have several
They have till July 8th because I had to cure my wife's ballot.
Oh, okay.
So they have till July 8th. Okay.
Okay,
today?
Please wake up.
Today is July
1st.
So they have 7 days.
So they have a week. Well, and then I mean, if it still falls within a certain range, there's an automatic recount is triggered too, right?
1%, which is about 4,000 votes in this case, between 4,000 and 5,000 votes. That's clearly within that.
I think it's hard to. I mean, unless they play a California and somebody comes up with all of these votes coming
in Colorado, you can't turn in your vote after election day.
Right, but they could do like California, or like, oh look, we found all these votes.
Well, California can still turn it in. As long as it's posted.
No. You cannot bring in a ballot after 7 p.m. And I think I better be quiet before I check it.
No, that's all right. we'll see. If it were a Democrat race.
California, you can.
Okay.
As long as it's postmarked in time. In fact, it's arrived after Election Day.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But isn't there.
Not in Colorado. Colorado still has to come in.
Right. But who knows where it is, right? People would say, oh, look. We found all these votes that came in.
They don't control the clerk's offices.
We don't even realize it. Well, right. It would be if it was a Democrat, it would be another story. What I think is kind of interesting, not even kind of, is very interesting in this. So if you look at it, I think this is what we're seeing is a repudiation of the Rhino establishment wing of the Republican Party. Because if you take Victor Marx's 40% and Scott Bottom's 20%, that means that 60% of Colorado Republicans voted against the Rhino uniparty establishment candidate, which I think I
have a different analysis. We'll give you after you finish.
I think you know she clearly was not able to pick up the unaffiliated voters, most of whom, like 70% of the unaffiliated voters, wanted a Democrat ballot. And I think she clearly, I mean, Scott Bottoms 20%. You got to wonder what would have happened if Victor Marx hadn't been in the race, right? I don't think that they all would have gone for Scott Bottoms. But and likewise, if you're Victor Marx, you got to wonder what would have happened if Scott Bottoms hadn't been in the race. But to me, okay, I'd be interested in your analysis. I just think that's kind of good news that 60% of Colorado Republicans voted against the establishment candidate. What do you think?
Well, one, it's not 60% of Republicans. It's 60% of people who voted in the Republican primary.
Right, but only 30% of unaffiliated voters voted in the Republican primary.
Yeah, I've got that. But you have to remember one thing. 4 years ago, which is a similar election, there were close to 650,000 people voted in the Republican primary. And that's the Joe O'Day.
Right. I think like 466,000 voted in this one.
So you had 200,000 less people voting than your last time. Who are those 200,000 people, 150,000, 200,000 people? Well, they're all, by and large, not totally, but by and large, Democrat-leaning people who like to play around in Republican elections. They have to remember.
So you think they did that here again?
No, they didn't. See, that's the whole point. You had 200,000 people who would have voted in large percentage for Barb Kirkmeyer, who instead voted in the Democratic primary instead. They had 750,000 people, rounded off, that voted in the Democratic primary. They had 466. So that's 200,000, close to 300,000 difference into two primaries. So you had very few, and the number of registered Republicans and registered Democrats was like 1% difference. So you had this massive wave of Democrat-leaning people who voted in the Democratic primary. Remember,
right.
4 years ago, there were no primary contests for all the key ones. And Polis didn't have an opponent, and neither did whoever was it running for Senate then.
Bennett,
yeah. So what you had, normally speaking, Marx would have gotten crushed because all the Democratic-leaning people would have voted in the Republican primary and crushed in Marx. But said they all didn't vote. So now you take out 200,000 people who didn't vote, and you really have a much closer group of as you pointed out, Julie, actual Democrats. It's only 30% were unaffiliated. So most of these votes are much closer to Republicans who voted. And Republicans voted, probably if you had just Republicans voted, Marx would have won. But in fact, she was able to get enough of the rhinos and the Democratic leading ones to tie it.
Right. But what I'm saying is though, when you look at, given all of that, though, even with all of that, of the people who've in this race, right, 60% of them voted against Barb Kirkmeier in one way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Since probably most of the people who voted were either Republicans or Republican leaning, yeah. I guess that's what I'm saying. So it looks like, you know, I think there is clearly Barb Kirkmeier has no mandate. The establishment has no mandate.
Well, but next time we have an election, all the Democrats will come back. Barb Kirkmeier didn't even go through the assembly. That's how she couldn't even think she was assured she'd get 10% of the vote going right through the assembly. She has no strong support, and they're always a minority.
Right.
40% is probably even high.
Right.
And so it isn't, you know, Barbara Kirkmeier is not a Republican candidate. She's, I don't know what she is. She's sort of a minority of the Republican
Party.
Yeah.
Uniparty.
The Uniparty portion of the Republican, you know, all the Rhino Radio people, the Mandy Connells, the Peter Boyles, the Rush the Region people, I mean, all those. That's who kind of quote unquote Republican or Republican adjacent. So it's pretty amazing that you know, just because they've crooked these elections to allow independents and everything else, what a huge difference. And you see no discussion about it. And look at the number of people voting, 750 versus 466, even though we had a highly competitive Republican election. That tells you that in the general election, whether it's Kirkmeier or Marx, they're going to get slaughtered.
Well, and I don't know, you know, there's only, we'll have to see, well, only 36% of active voters voted in this, which is kind
that's
of
high.
Is it high for?
Yes.
Well, that's because of the Democrats. So the Democrats, I mean, I got to wonder if there'll be very much participation, because in a way, and I know our Republican friends hate to hear us say this, but whoever wins the Republican primary is extremely unlikely to win the gubernatorial race. I don't care how popular Victor Marx thinks he is and all of that. And there's a part of me that kind of was like, I don't know if I want, because Victor Marx, I think, is crazy. And I kind of think on one hand, he's going to give the Democrats so much fuel. It'll kind of fuel
them. Like they need it.
Right, exactly. On the other hand, though, again, some of my Republican friends won't like me saying this, but I think it might be interesting to see Barbara Kirkmeier win the primary and then go on to be the most humiliated Republican gubernatorial candidate ever. That might be kind of interesting to watch, too, because I think that's what would happen.
That's what we get to look forward to.
Well, yeah, no, it's worse than that. Then we can move on now to the other thing. Then we have, you know, the Democrats that have taken over. So, and here we'll
Jacob thinks Republicans flipped it. Promise you they didn't. Republicans will not vote in Democratic primaries.
Yeah, they should.
They consider it, you know, it isn't polite. So they don't.
When he says he just drove by the country club, the 4th of July display is impressive. Yeah, they do a wonderful 4th of July thing there. So in Denver, I mean, all of the headlines, and now they've all kind of died away, but it's sort of like socialism takes over Denver and Colorado, right? So that 29-year-old, this is so funny, 29-year-old Malat Kyrhos, she wasn't even born yet when Diana DeGette took office.
Well, she was born in Ethiopia.
Well, she was born in Ethiopia too. But she clobbered Diana DeGette.
She didn't just win.
No.
She won clearly, like over 10 points.
Right, she clobbered her. Phil Weiser, solid win over Michael Bennett. I was reading somewhere it said that this is the first time in like a million years nationwide that a sitting governor, a sitting senator who's running for a governor's seat hasn't won the primary. Right. So that's, and Hickenlooper won, you know, Julie Gonzalez, who had basically no money, not much ground game, entered the—
not much of a personality,
no.
Overweight, kind of bland. She came within 10 points.
She came with, and she took a significant portion, as I understand it, of Denver, which at one point elected Hickenlooper mayor.
Yeah.
You know, so
I think it tells you a lot about. I don't think the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party is very popular
No. Well, then you have in CVA that Manny Rutner guy, he's like a progressive vegan, although he says he's not vegan anymore. And he was because he's in CVA, which has a lot of agriculture.
Yeah.
So he's all, maybe he's a pet and not eat him. We should raise him for pets. He was, he was opposed to oil and gas and fracking. Well, he's not so opposed to that anymore.
Yeah, too. Much more liberal on that.
Yeah. He's really changed his tune, but he won in CVA. I'm beating Shannon Byrd, who is a state legislator, who's Westminster, who is considered, more moderate. In District 6 in Denver, the socialist candidate ousted a state rep. And as the stats are, 6 of 8 Democrat state House seats went to socialists.
Wow.
So, and that's despite the money that some of the more mainstream, I think it's called Main Street One or something like that, Democrat dark money.
You can read Jewish. That's what all came in. And it's huge number of, of people for like what's her name, Marian Adelson and everything else.
Okay.
Poured money into the establishment Republicans.
Didn't work. And so, you know, it's interesting to see. I mean, when you look at what's going to happen, you know, again, Hakeem Jeffries, who I think at the time we considered extremely radical, right? And now he's like, you know, because I think the way I get it is that the socialists, it's not just enough to hate Trump anymore, as we talked about before. You have to hate the entire Western civilization. You want to tear it in.
And Israel.
And Israel, especially. Right. You have to hate all of that stuff. And you have to openly say we want to defeat it. You have to hate prisons. You have to have open borders. Yeah, I mean, completely radical, right? And that's what they want. And it's, so, like I said, it's not enough just to hate Donald Trump. And, you know, if you're Michael Bennett, I think we were saying earlier, I thought he was, if he won, he was going to be pushed so far left, it might make a difference. But you've got Phil Weiser, you've got Jenna Griswold, which I have.
What a great attorney general.
Attorney general.
You're talking about ethical. You're talking about
give herself a pardon.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a joke, but, you know, they like her, you know. So I think it does not bode well at all for Colorado. I think you have these.
Colorado is the F word. It is F word. And you're talking about Denver.
Who are?
Yeah. And they're piling out of Denver these days, the companies, and no one's moving in. I mean, hey, I'd like to go to that socialist paradise. I'm sure it'll work out really well for our company.
Yeah, it's not funny. I don't know why I'm laughing. Well, and the legislature, right? You've got, you're replacing at least somewhat moderate. I mean, we would never consider a moderate. They're pretty radical. These are people who, you know, they want no guns. They want abortion for everybody, transgender. I mean, you just go down the list of Democrats.
Well, to replace it, I mean, you take the Ted Trimpa one. When he did Blueprint Colorado. What do they care about? Gay rights. That's all they really cared about. As long as you were pro-gay rights and a Democrat, they would support you. And they did. And that was the only thing you had to be. You could, you know,
be conservative. Yeah.
Anything but that. So you have all these people who are pro gay rights. Well, that's a battle they think they've already won. They don't need to do that anymore. So now the battle is, you know, Israel. And that's the battle. And the vast number of Democratic Jewish voters vote Democrat in Colorado.
Right. Well, but
on all hilltop.
But who did they vote for, I wonder? Did they vote for Diana DeGette, or did they vote for
Why
would vote for Kyros, I don't know. She said Israel doesn't have a right to exist.
I'm in New York, so who does know?
But I think it's also, they're extremely anti-business, right? These are the people who cheered when Palantir left Colorado.
Yes.
These are the people who protest outside of businesses that have nothing to do with ICE. These are people who want increased government regulations. They want government, I mean, you know, think talk nanny state in the extreme. So whatever businesses might have been thinking about coming to Colorado, it's going to squash that. And I don't, I mean, it is not very, it's not very bright future, I don't think, for Colorado. Right. I mean, if you're a socialist, it's a great future. But the problem is that you run out of money.
Was it workers' paradise and Soviet Union great for the workers?
No.
Was Mao's revolution great for the peasants? No. Slaughtered millions.
I mean, right. And so I think it's going to continue to destroy the economy. I mean, Colorado ranks worse and worse and worse, and all of the things that it used to be okay at, right? And there's no point in building affordable housing when no one wants to live here. So I think the legislature is going to be, and you got Wiser who's going to sign anything. I think at least Polis was somewhat protective of his political ambitions, and so he didn't want to be too crazy. Yeah. But, you know, I feel bad for Brandy Bradley and those guys. It's like Kevin Grantham's like, I'm just going to run for treasurer. I don't care. Now, Michael Bennett gets to go back and be senator. So I imagine he's just going to pretend that nothing happened, right? It's like,
the one you gave away?
Oh, yeah, the one I didn't really try yet. I'm just going to be senator now. But I think, you know, if you're them, the socialists, you're looking at Hickenlooper, you're looking at Bennett. And I don't know.
Why do they care? I mean, really, they've spent whatever number of years it's been. Total 10 they haven't done a thing. They haven't talked on a single subject. Bennett was screaming about something, but they've never fought against the party or taken a position right. That was interesting. They went to Washington. I hope they drink a lot because that's, you know, that's a great Senate tradition. They don't do anything. And they're so bored. Bennett was so bored he wanted to come back to Colorado to push us all around, you know? I mean, It's you know, the two worthless senators that always vote Democrat, that stand for nothing that I can tell, other than being pleasant. I mean, I like both of them.
Well, you wonder if the Julie Gonzalez showing is going to embolden somebody to challenge Bennett. I mean,
because the one before Milo was a progressive who came up with a large percentage of the vote.
Right.
Shocking. So that's when it kind of everyone goes, whoa.
Well, exactly. Yeah, well, and you look at how they turned out. And I think going back to CDA, right, which is Gabe Evans' seat, I think this does not bode well for Gabe Evans' seat. There's some people, you know, like Craig Steiner, the Republican Party chair. I was reading, he did an interview, I think, with the Colorado Sun, where he goes, oh, he's going to be easy to run against. It's like, no, he's not. No, he's not. They're pouring a ton of money into these kind of races, right?
Well, the Republican Party of Colorado will, too, now that it doesn't have a bank account. I mean, yeah.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Craig, yeah. Who paid for your gas getting up to the radio station?
They probably did it on FaceTime or something like that.
That'd be on the papers.
I mean, I don't think, because what we're seeing here is people in Colorado, the progressives, are increasingly crazy, right? So the fact that this Manny guy is you know, a socialist, he's not officially a socialist, but he's close enough to a socialist, he embraces all of their beliefs. Right.
He's close to Barb Kirkmeyer.
Right, yeah. I think he could win. I think that he's going to accept. People are going to be excited.
It's lean Democrat.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a Republican, I hate to say it, but you're not totally thrilled at going out to vote for Gabe Evans, right?
Most of the camp, you know, people like you and I aren't, but I would say on average, especially the rhinos in the party, they're all very happy. And Adams County was pretty. It was interesting. Adams County was a lot more grassrooty, although still a majority Kirkmeyer than Arapaho, Jefferson. That Decision-HQ really has a wonderful way to look at some statistics you normally don't get to look at with the local press. I mean, that was, it's going to be, I think Gabe Evans' chances have gone up.
Oh, you do? So you would agree because yes. the other guys.
But gone up to what? I still think it's lean Democratic. I think it's still Democrats to lose. But he will have tons of money, which most Republicans don't have. So he'll have all that going for him. But, you know, we'll see how it all turns out. I think his odds increased, but they didn't increase to 50% or more.
I kind of wonder the other way, because there does seem to be sort of an excitement around these progressive candidates. Mm-hmm. And so I wonder if that will motivate. And you're going to have, again, the unaffiliated voters, I think, you know, may not. I just think there's going to be a stronger showing for the Democrat candidate.
Well, don't you think Socialist Democrats would never do anything untoward toward balloting? They would never do anything that wouldn't allow that. But not only the rule, but the spirit of ballot harvesting.
Well, I mean, and that's what I'm saying. You look at all the advantages that Democrats have anyway, right? And I know you'll have Americans for Prosperity, but at a certain point, here's what happens in political campaigns, is in congressional campaigns, is if the money isn't coming in, if the polling isn't showing anything, the RNC, the Americans for Prosperity, they will bail on Gabe Evans and they will
Americans for Prosperity.
Oh, Americans for Prosperity. Right.
That's RNWC and all that. They'll bail.
They'll bail.
But no.
I guess Americans for Prosperity. But again, though, I think that I think when all is said and done, I think there's going to be a ton of money coming in. And here's the thing. We were talking about this earlier, and you were talking about with other Republican types. You know, in the Democrats, it's like, where are these socialists getting all the money? Well, it's billionaires, like the Singham guy in Shanghai, who I think he's getting his money. He's the Chinese government. It's just funneling it through him. You've got the George Soros types. You've got...
And I can't remember that. Maybe Jacob knows. The billionaire out of Switzerland that's always funding lots of projects.
Yeah, Democrat, Jacob says, Democrat, Socialist, DSA, National, Nazis. Yeah, no, Soros, there's somebody else.
No, there's
somebody else to a bazillionaire, right?
Bazillionaire.
So you have all of those people who are, they're pushing the communist, the socialist agenda. And they're pouring, and it's an ideological thing, right? And I think actually pushed by China. And they're the ones who are pouring money into the Democrat. What you would consider maybe the Democrat Tea Party. And, you know, you were bemoaning the fact that, and you've been saying for years, Republicans need better billionaires, right? It's like the Republican Tea Party or the grassroots has no equivalent. It's like, well, why can't we just get a bunch of money and win? It's like, because no one will give it to us, right?
Well, that's the problem the establishment can have. Nobody will give it to them. Barbara Kirchmeyer, you know, would have normally gotten a lot of money from Steve Wells and everybody else, but now they're not putting in. Certainly, Anschutz won't give her any money. So she's got, if she wins, she'll have no money. I don't know how Victor Marx ends up. Maybe gets it from Israel. At least that's the rumor. Gets all his money because they want Republicans who are supportive of Israel.
Yeah, well, and Jacob is saying, I am betting Musk is going to support the Republicans to offset Soros. Yeah, but I think so. And we've seen he's done that in some places. I just don't think that, particularly this year, right? I just don't think Colorado matters that much to him. I think, to a certain extent,
well, I'm sure the 8th congressional district matters to him. If they'd gotten the new map, or they could have gotten 4 seats, I think that would have mattered to him. But you know, they got in Crank's district. I forget which one that is.
5.
5. He's not that solid, so maybe they could take that one.
Huh.
And God, Lauren Boebert managed to alienate everybody wherever she goes.
And Jacob says, remember, Ag Blue is out of money. Yeah, but they're funneling it through other things. And I think, I don't know, my guess is the Democrats will come up with some other clever way to funnel money into candidates, right? They always do. So I guess what the sad thing is, though, is I think there is just as motivated, I guess, move in the Republican grassroots party, the MAGA people, I guess, if you want to call it that, as there is on the progressive, on the socialist side.
No, it's just the socialist side. Now, MAGA has had, and they're always going to be disappointed in a president now toward his second part of his second term. You know, a lot of Americans are not thrilled about the war against Iran, and that's not going to end because the Iranians aren't going to let it end. So I don't think there is that kind of enthusiasm. Not for the Gabe Evans of the world, not for the Barbara Kirchmeyer of the world, or even the Victor Marxes of the world. I mean, I don't know what his politics really are.
Well, yeah, that's because he cleverly doesn't say. But what I mean, though, is that wing of the party, right, that you would does not have access to the kind of money that the Democrat socialists have.
God, no.
And you can rack your brain, and then it's not going to, because the establishment Republicans don't care. And here's what I think. The billionaires like Musk, you get the Larry Ellisons, you know, I don't know. I kind of think all they want to do is control the AI future. And I think they can be, I think they kind of sort of want free speech, as long as in the end, they're the ones who kind of control the algorithms to determine what free speech is, right? And I think those billionaires who have been kind of friendly with Trump and, you know, like Musk and the MAGA movement, I think they have their own self-interests, basically.
I think
place.
There'll be plenty of money for Republican congressional candidates, because the Republican Party itself has lots of money. For the statewide races and so forth, and for the state races, no, there'll be no money for Republicans. None.
No.
Absolutely none.
Well, Jacob says, have to hope that Republicans come out in higher numbers to vote in the midterms.
They won't.
Well, Well, yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter. In Colorado, there's only, you know, the legislature, there's no one to vote for. Well, I mean, there is, but, and then, you know, just in CDA, we'll see. Because I just think the Democrats are going to squash Krugmeier. That's what I said. It might, a part of me kind of hopes she wins just so she will be thoroughly humiliated, you know, with a massive loss.
She already knows she's going to get, they'll blame it. They'll blame it on the grassroots.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, they'll blame it on us. They'll blame it on Trump. Yeah. They'll blame it on Trump, and they'll blame it on something else. So, but pretty interesting to see what's going on in Colorado. And
well, I mean, you know, we've always been a bit behind the real Democratic power center, certainly behind California, Oregon, Washington. If it hits those places, then it comes to Colorado. But now we're moving up.
That's right. You know, we're electing our own socialist legislature.
I mean, we're right behind New York.
Just a couple years ago when they were voting people into the Denver City Council, you're like, oh, that's crazy. They would never win. And now they're mainstream congressional candidates who are going to win, right? They're mainstream gubernatorial candidates who are going to win. If you're Diana DeGette, do you think, you know, 2 years ago, she was particularly worried about a socialist?
2 years ago, she was. 4 years ago, she certainly wasn't.
Right. Well, I mean, she's been there for 30 years. I think 15. There's...
15 to 30 years?
Yeah, 15,
yeah, 15
terms.
Terms. Yeah, you're right, 30 years.
And you know, I think there is another thing, too. You have, with the Democrats, you have, you know, all these ancient people. And, you know, and I think that kind of goes against them, too. I mean, Republicans have ancient people, but that doesn't seem to...
They come that way. They're
so,
born that
so
way.
Thought on what happens after everybody's sworn in, all these socialists are sworn in.
Well, they won't destroy us until, you know, the legislature's in session in January.
Right.
And then they'll get rid of Tabor so they can spend to death. They will destroy all local control to make sure we have, you know, no pockets of freedom out there, because you can get rid of local control. You can't have a city who wants to do its own thing. So we'll get rid of that. I don't know. They don't need to crook the judiciary. It's crooked enough as is. But, you know, wealth tax. That'd be good, but I don't know if they'll do the wealth tax.
So Jacob is saying the wealthy are not going to let candidates who want a wealth tax win their
elections.
Well,
they tried to stop this one.
Yeah, if they do win.
They poured millions into DeGette,
right.
Into Bennett and everything else, and it mattered zippo.
Right. Well, and I think, and maybe I'm wrong here, but what's your sense? My thing is, too, unfortunately in Colorado, there just aren't that many billionaires around, who's, you know what I mean? Who are going to
leaving? You know,
right. I mean, I think they all kind of have, you know, like Phil Anschutz. He lives in L.A., which is also bad. But yeah, I don't know.
I don't think he loves L.A.
No, But they may skip a wealth tax, but they won't need it right away, right? Sooner or later, they're going to need a wealth tax because of all these things they want to pay for, right? You look at, you know, these people. They want, we can't pay for Medicaid or Medicaid as it is, right? But they want to put everybody else on it. You know, you look at the city of Denver, you just drive around and, you know, I was there the other day and it was like Spear Boulevard. It just was trash. I mean, clearly they're not putting as much effort into keeping it clean.
Why would they? That's fascist.
Yeah. Well, anything else you wanted to say? I guess we won't know for sure. I mean, I imagine like for a week, Jacob, you're right. If it gives,
well, you got to get carrying the ballots. This is going to be within 1% because I said, you know, 1% of 450,000 is, you know, 4,500. So it's going to be a recount.
It'll be kind of fun. This is terrible to say.
It'll be determined by the time the mail-in ballots go out. barely.
Well, and it'll be kind of funny to see if Victor Marx, who has shown creativity, I guess it's fair to say, in his campaign tactics, ends up bringing in a lot more ballots. And then we'd have to have Bart Kirkmeyer say, election integrity.
Hello, happy election weekend. Yeah.
It'd be kind of fun to have her have to say that. And then, Jacob, the one who was running against Evans left the Colorado legislature with a $1.8 billion deficit. And now are we supposed to trust him with a $7 trillion
deficit? Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely, because that's just math, Jacob.
Yeah.
You're a socialist. You don't have to worry about math. Math is it's confusing. And
it's also racist.
It's not my truth. It's not my truth. So, you know, it's sort of a ideological thing.
Right.
But the other thing I wanted to talk about was the birthright citizenship.
Yeah. Yay.
The Supreme Court screwed us. Yeah.
Yay, we're doomed. So the Supreme Court, wonderfully, a majority of them, five of them, found that the 14th Amendment was intended to save, you know, birthright citizenship for Guatemalans and everything else. Written by none other than Amy Coney Barron. Who did the vetting for her? let's do everything we can to get her in the Supreme Court. She's worthless. She's a Sandra Day O'Connor. Whenever it matters, her and Roberts go over to the other side. So, okay, is it having elections like was out in Los Angeles, where it goes on for weeks, it's crooked, it's corrupt. Should we prevent that? No, because that would annoy the Democrats.
Yeah.
And Roberts is exactly the same for Obamacare. Oh no, they'll be mad if we don't let them have Obamacare. I'll figure out some way. So Amy Coney Barron cites an 1898 case, and I forget it, it's Wounded Ark or something, and dicta. So oh, we're bound by that. Now, we weren't bound by Roe v. Wade. We are bound by the dicta in an 1898 case. You know, that's absurd, right? It's absolutely absurd. And anyone that believes anything that Roberts tells them, now, look, judges are there to be umpires. They're there to call balls and strikes. There are no Obama judges and no Trump judges. They're just judges. Yeah, okay. Okay, Mr. Roberts, we believe you and trust you.
Well,
it's just, and so we get, you know, we get trainees in sports can't do it. You don't want trainees in sports, you can have that one. Yeah. Oh, you don't think Obama cares? You go, no, Democrats care. You think that elections should be fair? No, 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 no. We'll do the Los Angeles deal. You think that we shouldn't have these farms where people fly into Okinawa and just have a baby? There are literally hundreds of thousands of eligible citizens in China now.
Right.
And they think, oh, that's what they were thinking. Finishing up World War II, the Civil War, they're like, yeah, we're going to make sure those baby mills are going, because that's only fair. That's only reasonable.
They didn't even have airplanes then. So they couldn't see it. Well, and that's clearly what we're seeing happening, right? So the Chinese, they're kind of through their Singham guy, they're funding all of these socialists, you know, for a communist agenda. And then in the meantime, to make sure that they have the votes, it's much more clever, really, even than the Democrats, right? By just having open borders, because you don't even have to deal with that. And you don't get anybody mad. You just have all of these thousands and thousands of people who are suddenly sending in ballots who never even have been to the United States, right?
Yeah.
It's like they have the right to vote. And you can kind of cherry pick which state you want them to vote in.
They can vote in any, no reason to vote in South Dakota, but a lot of reason to vote in Maine. Oh, yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, and that's why you have the crazy Jenna Griswold and the lawsuit saying you can't have people who've never lived in Colorado, have never been in Colorado, vote in Colorado elections. And Jenna Griswold is like, sure they can. Well, where do they think that comes from? You know, and if you're running China and you want to run the world, what an easy way to do it. Just keep flying people over, have their baby there. Now they have a dual citizenship. And you're like, if the United States is the only country that's stupid enough to do that,
yeah,
right?
Like Amy Coney Barron and Roberts and the whole sleazy, you know, I mean, you know, we spend years and decades trying to get justices and so forth. So they overturned Roe v. Wade, which was a terrible decision to do. It was legally correct, but terrible to do because it incentivized all the Democrats right to win. So when they always do the wrong, stupid thing.
Well,
they always do the stupidest thing that they could do.
And I was reading a thing that said that it's possible that that Congress could change the law.
Oh, they couldn't change it. No, they couldn't. Well, according to the majority, five of them, it's in the 14th Amendment. It's not. Well,
so that's
according to Kavanaugh, it was some stupid statute he came up with. Said it,
but it's clear you're right, because that would be appealed and it's going to go back to the same people who said you can't, you have to allow it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like,
don't you understand what 14th Amendment means?
I don't, a constitutional amendment you would never.
Once the U.S. becomes a province of Peking,
these Chinese people are going to get to vote. And whether they want that or not, they're going to be like, oh, no, we don't want that.
No, we don't.
So,
I mean, so and then they keep on kind of, oh, you know, look at all these wins for Trump. And so, do we really care who the agricultural commissioner is? Really? Really?
Well, it matters, but this was big.
Not much compared to our whole country,
right?
Our whole civilization. I mean, it's nothing.
Right.
Yeah, you get all the stinky ones, all the ones that don't matter. Well, yeah, here you go. Suck on this.
It also begs the question, so these are people who are, they're kind of, so theoretically, they fly in, they, like you say, they go to Okinawa, have a baby there, then fly home. Well, why even bother, given our election integrity laws, why even bother to do that? Why don't I just say, oh, hi, I just had a baby in Okinawa. His name is Sam.
We would have him over there. Sam,
right. And here's his birth certificate. It's one from China. I'm going to register in the I'm going to register in Colorado. It's like there's no way to, because at least at some level, if they're a citizen and they live here, you could go knock on their door and say, are you Chuck Bonniewell?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you can do some sort of audit. But in something like this, what's to prevent it? And who's going to vet these votes that come in? Because how are you even going to know, right, that this was Sam from China sending in the ballot? The opportunity for corruption. I mean, it's clever on their part. They're like, you know, look, at least with illegal the border, we had to have kind of like people to show.
Technically, they have human beings go across the
border. Here, I don't think you even need to do that, really. You can just start claiming it. And how are you going to prove otherwise, right? And what are you going to extradite him from China? I mean, how would you even go about that? Right. And then you're going to have secretaries of state like Jenna Griswold that's going to say, oh, look, in Colorado, because that was one of the other things people said, well, way more people voted in the Colorado election than even lived in Colorado. Right. And it's like, well, they don't. They all live in China.
Yeah.
It's like two billion of them voted in the Colorado.
A lot of those are good skiers, too.
Yeah. A lot of them are good skiers.
Tom Tillis, you know, the hated rhino from South Carolina, who decided to not run for re-election, but he was on some CNN broadcast, and he said, look, we cannot tell people that these elections are crooked. That will lose their trust in elections, and they won't go, our guys won't go to vote. So we must tell them it's a gold standard, con them, and then somehow win. And you go, oh, yeah, we don't want them not trusting a crooked system. We have to tell them to trust the crooked system, so we'll vote in the crooked system, and we are somehow going to win in that crooked system.
Well, it's worse than that. It's the people who are telling
us. How's it worse than that?
Because the people who are telling us it's the gold standard are being paid and work for the company that makes it not the gold standard. Right. I mean, you've got Matt Crane.
Tillis is working for the gold. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you know, you got Wayne Williams. You got all those people. Wayne Williams they bring it all in.
Do something about those people? Can't we?
Jacob says Obamacare makes the insurance company cover women for prostate cancer and men for uterus cancer. Mm-hmm. The whole thing is ridiculous, right? And then it's a fraud anyway. Like I said, and the Democrats have kind of figured out, or the fraudsters, I think it's, have figured out, we don't need real people. That's where they had the Somali learning centers, need people.
They had some expose. They had some huge office complex in Minnesota that's an industrial area that, you know, supposed to be treating autistic and everything else. And 400 businesses all billing out a million at a time. I mean, Minnesota really. And if Minnesota's doing that, can you imagine what's really happening in New York?
Oh, yeah.
Because they really know about fraud.
Again, it's like they've evolved from the point of, at least with illegal immigration, there sort of technically was a human body had to be involved. And now they're not. Like, you look at some of the Medicaid fraud, they're like, you know what, some thousands and thousands of people on Medicaid didn't have Social Security numbers.
No problem there.
Just because they don't exist.
In China.
Yeah, that's it. They don't exist. They're like you said, they don't exist. They're just a name that's filled out in a form, and somebody somewhere is raking in all of the money.
Is there anybody actually on Medicaid that's a real human being anymore? I mean, they must get squeezed out.
Yeah.
with all the other ones, just entire office building up. And that's why they have these great ones like autism, right? I mean, what's autistic?
Right.
I mean, Julie says, you're on the scale, Chuck, so I'm autistic. So she ought to get, she ought to apply for money to take care of, because I'm autistic and some, I'm on the scale somewhere. And they go, well, I don't know. Why not? You know,
I would say deal. So. Yeah. And then you could say I was autistic. And then you could get money to take care of me.
You can't be autistic.
Only one of us can be. Well, so anyway, you're right.
You can't have two autistic people looking after two autistic people.
Why not?
Well, I don't know. The rules, Julie.
The rules.
To
prevent that kind of fraud. So, yeah, I mean, you're right. There have been some Supreme Court wins, but the birthright citizenship.
They matter nothing.
That's because I think that nothing. Opens this complete, like I said, this complete door for fraud.
Yes.
You know, to have all of
and
these.
And then the excuse by the weak-willed Amy Coney Barrett, well, you know, what about all the people that came here and have been, you know, thinking they're citizens for 90 years or 40 years? And Aida said, okay, Congress can allow anybody to be a citizen. So therefore, they all people, you know, born, you know, before 2022, who would have been a citizen are hereby granted citizenship. Boom, done. You don't have to worry about, oh, what are we going to do?
Right.
We're going to do that.
No.
The hatred and they said that that Trump was out of his mind when he got the decision. So were other people. Musk is going, God.
Right. Well, I think it was expected, but it wasn't a total shock. But
well, the shock one was Roberts and Barrett going over for the counting. You know that you could extend your voting as long as you goddamn want. Literally, as long as you want, because that's how they interpreted what Elder Jerry said in 1842. And I mean, there's such lying sack. They're lying sack. And you know, I don't think the Democrats have any faith in the Supreme Court. And I think Republicans don't have any more either. I mean,
no.
It's all a bunch of garbage.
And they go around it anyway. Yeah, well, yeah, yes. And while you're getting, we've talked about this before too, where you have Democrats saying, I'm just not going to obey that law. Right. It's like, I don't like it. I'm not going
to
obey
it. Oh, you have to allow immigration. No, we're just not going to do that.
we're just going to avoid it. Anything else? That'll do it. So we'll know. So next week, on Monday, we have a golf tournament. Well, we don't. Rev does. But Mark Poff is going to be filling in for us.
Yeah, he's great.
He's great. He always has. I know he's been busy with trials and stuff. He always has
a lot of trials to report.
Some interesting
justice in America.
And hopefully we'll be back Wednesday and we'll have election results. So we'll be able to talk about that.
I just want to say one quick thing. The Pfizer, remember how they had immunity in case anybody died?
Right.
Congress lifted that, so they do not have immunity anymore. You're going to see the lawsuits run.
Oh, okay.
When did they lift that?
Today.
Oh, we'll have to go research that.
I doubt if they can retroactively say you have immunity and say today you don't have immunity.
They did something.
I'll leave it to the lawyers.
Good. That's what it should be. That's what it should be.
Because we can trust them. All right. Thanks, everybody on Zoom and everybody at BBS. And everybody. Oh, happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th of July. Go see that exhibit by the Democratic
Party. All right. We'll see you guys all next week. Bye-bye.